Because if you're having fun with it, just like if you're on stage, if you're enjoying your time in your video and you're putting your passion into it, people are going to see that and be like, ah, this person's having fun. I like this.
Yep.
You know, smiles are infectious. Infectious.
Welcome back to another episode of Successfully Unsigned, your favorite music business podcast. If you're enjoying this show, hit that like and hit that subscribe. It has been a minute since we've had just a normal, regular old episode. And I hate to break it to you, but today's is not going to be quite normal either. Today we're missing one of our three musketeers, Mr. David Overstreet, who was out on some personal business. But we will persevere. DJ Patty G and myself, Dale Shack, will be talking about music videos and if they're important for young emerging artists. Also, what should you expect from your music video and how you can best utilize it to leverage your career in the music industry. As always, let us know in the comments your opinions on these topics and like, follow, share, subscribe, rate us on your favorite streaming platform, and tell your friends to come listen to Successfully Unsigned.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned. You didn't want to start it?
No, I'm horrible at intros, dude. Horrible at intros.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're starting this episode off bad. I'm mad at Dale. We're beefing.
We are?
Yes, because...
Then why are you in my house?
He's making us sit on these stupid bar stools with no back. Y'all, I'm a big boy.
Got that buffalo back.
I got a big back, big butt. And he wants me to sit on this tiny little wooden stool for however long we record.
It's sturdy enough. So, we'll be fine.
Anyway.
Really, I just wanted to see how it looked with how I've redone like my back wall here, which is really not all that fancy. But I just redid a few things and I wanted to see how video looked with it because I might shoot more videos here later. Yeah.
And we're going to talk all about videos today.
We are.
But you may be wondering, hey, where's the attractive one? So we had to kick him out because he was just one-upping.
So here a couple episodes ago, y'all kicked me out.
Yeah.
And so now it's our turn.
And who's the only one who hasn't been kicked out? Period.
That's just because you...
Anyway, so...
Our attempts at finding secret meeting times have not worked. That you don't know about, you know?
But today we're going to be talking about music videos, which is really exciting. And I know we've kind of been MIA this past month. Someone has been gone. And someone's going to be gone again. But we have some good, like, really exciting interviews lined up for y'all. I think we'll actually probably have some good ones in July, too, hopefully. And it should be good. We'll see. We also have been posting some post-show interviews that I've been doing at shows. A lot of them are really old, so sorry for the backup. I am a bad procrastinator at editing.
With those post-show interviews, let us know what you think. Do you enjoy those? Do you like those? They're a nice, quick glimpse at artists and kind of their thought process, like right after a show's over. What is it like? You know, we did Tristan's band here a while back, and that was like right after their first show.
And we never posted that.
I gave it to you, didn't I?
No, that was that was before we even had the idea. That was like we just decided to go to the show, and you're like, "Hey, I'm gonna bring my camera," and I'm like, "How about you just ask them some questions?"
Oh.
That one was not on me.
Well, cool.
The rest of them are on me, though.
It's living on a hard drive somewhere. It will be posted. I have it. I guess I never gave it to you. I thought I gave it to you. You know what? But that's okay.
That one's not on me.
That's okay.
That one's on you. But this is, like, very weird because I'm not used to, like, staring directly into the camera.
You don't have to. We can look this way. That's fine.
I don't really want to look at you, though, so...
I mean, I get it. Like you said, David's the eye candy. But, like...
Speaking of candy, we have our show and yell.
And I have candy behind the camera.
You do?
I do, yeah. Where? In that blue bag.
I want some.
There's like some sour Skittles in there.
Of course it is.
Yeah. There's another bag on my table in the kitchen too.
Of course there is. Okay, are you going first or me?
You go first.
Okay. Dunker the donut! Okay, so... He told me not to yell, but here I am. So, this is actually merch. From a band based out of Chicago called When the Sun Sets, fresh pop punk. They have a similar brand look to, I don't want to out them and them get flagged. So the company rhymes with Ispy-eem, but their mascot is a little donut called Dunker the Donut. It came. Okay. So some backstory. Actually, we're going to be talking about LOL It's Leah a little bit today. But the first time I saw her perform, which we had been in contact about having her on the show, I saw her back in October or November at The Underdog in Nashville. And the two bands that were performing before her, or in, I guess she was after her, When the Sun Sets and Vern. And actually, there was one other one, and I forget its name. I'm so sorry.
Fake fan.
Literally.
Were you even there?
But I thought all the bands did a really great job. And so I was like, let me go look at the merch table. Like, I, at this point, I hadn't really ever bought much merch, especially from local bands. And I saw this guy, and I was like, well, that intrigues me. I love plushies. I love donuts. I love cute things. I love food things. So
food is good.
It was up on a little thing, and she's like, well, it's actually a pre-order because they have to sell a certain amount to like place the order. And so I did a pre-order and just got it in like last week. So, I mean, it took a while, but the wait was worth it to me because it's so cute. He's so cute. And When the Sun Sets is a really good band. They have a really good song called Honest. And they're actually, by the time this comes out, they're going to be performing this week at Cannery Hall in Nashville. They're going to be back in Nashville. So this Thursday, June 26th, you can go see them and a few other people performing. But it came with this cute little card that says, hey there, my name is Dunker the Donut. I was created by Instagram graphic designer Ryan Hatfield. Shout out to Ryan. And When the Sun Sets, to capture both the cuteness and the reality of eating donuts on tour or using comfort foods for closure. Meet your new best friend, and thanks for being a part of the donut crew. Love, When the Sun Sets. I love it. And When the Sun Sets talks a lot about like mental health and stuff like that. So it's a really perfect little guy, and he has little sparkles on him. Yeah, he just makes me happy. You want to see the sparkles?
Oh. Come on. Okay. I assumed you were talking about something with glitter again, because it seems like a lot of your stuff ends up somehow having glitter. So
yeah,
I assumed.
And usually I would I guess I can display him. I'm going to display him. You give your item.
What?
Because usually I display them.
Oh. I got what you're saying. If you're listening to us on any of these streaming platforms, now is a great time to go check out the YouTube channel where you can see Dunker the Donut and him sitting on my hat hanging on the wall. So yeah, go check out the YouTube channel Successfully Unsigned. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can always listen to us as you're driving on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Samsung Podcasts is an oddly big one that we have a lot of people on. So if you listen on Samsung Podcasts, let us know. Find us on Instagram. Tell us how you found us, what you like about the show. Love to hear from you.
Successfully underscore unsigned. What's your item, Dale?
My item is my graduation cap from grad school.
Okay, you didn't even...
It's my graduation cap! I'm sorry, I forgot it's showing you. My bad. How long have I been on this show? I don't remember things. It's my graduation cap from grad school where I graduated just this past May. Some beautiful, beautiful beadwork that a friend of mine did.
Yeah, I've never actually seen this really up close.
Yeah, here, take a look. There's music notes, there's cassettes on it. It's all custom beadwork.
Oh, I thought that was like a Nintendo Switch.
No, it's a cassette. It's cassette
That's
tape.
Cute.
And
it has like, it's really cool how it has like the braided beading on the mm-hmm, outside. Mm-hmm. Like that's really impressive. Mm-hmm.
And then that's an eagle feather that was beaded by another friend. They actually got in communication about like the colors and the patterns and the things like that. And so I'm so, so thankful for them and what they did for me. As if you've been watching the show any amount of time.
I got my master's.
No, you didn't. if you've been watching this show any amount of time, you've probably heard me talk about being a citizen of the Chickasaw Nation. And for us, it's an honor to receive a feather like this, and is reserved for special occasions. And it was a gift. The feather was a gift as well. And it's very, very special to me. Very special to me.
Is getting your master's really that special of an occasion, though? Like, did you really do that much?
I didn't do much. I didn't study. Same. But no, actually, though, like...
Actually, though, they didn't give you, like, a special cord or special robe.
We did. We had hoods. They did. We had a hood.
Oh, you did have a hood. Okay.
I was hoping for the fancy hat, but they gave us a hood.
Oh, that's Doctorate, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I was hoping.
Wrong one.
But they did give us a hood.
You can still go. Get your doctorate.
No. What I'm going to do, I'm going to get the best doctorate there is. The honorary kind.
Yeah, I have that, too.
No, you don't. No, like I really didn't. Grad school was a lot. It was definitely worth it for me so far. Is saying that only a month out. But there was a lot of work involved, but oddly enough, very little textbook reading, at least for me. Some of the guys and gals that were in it read a lot. I did not. I should have. But it was a lot of hands-on time, just doing things. A lot of projects. So.
All right. Well, I don't know. I feel so lost without David here. Like, we don't have a third person to...
He's not corralling us to let us get us into that next segment. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sad. Rest in peace, David.
David, come back. You can blame it all on me.
Yeah, blame it all on him. Literally.
I mean, yeah, I've been gone the most, so.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to come back and talk about music videos, so stay tuned.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back. I was kind of like started like a barber. We just watched an episode of The Simpsons about a barbershop quartet.
Welcome.
Okay, no.
It's kind of hard to do with two people.
Yeah.
It's a barbershop duo, I guess.
Is that a thing somewhere?
It can be now. I ain't been into a barbershop in a long time, though.
Obviously.
I'm going for that Obi-Wan Kenobi look, you know?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, seriously. You really are. I don't go to a barbershop. I go to Hair by Atlanta. So shout out to Hair by Atlanta, Atlanta Jade from Hexproof. She also cuts hair. If you're a musician who needs your hair cut anywhere, she doesn't just do Nashville. Hit her up. Okay, anyway. But speaking of people of maybe I'm an artist and I need, you know, to freshen up my look. I need a haircut. I need some clothes. Why would I need any of that? Maybe for a performance, but maybe also for a music video.
Yay. So,
as far as music videos go, you know, it's not something I'm super familiar with, but I do have like definitely some points, but I know Dale, you're a little more experienced with music videos. So just, I don't know. Do you have anything that you want to say first?
Yeah, I mean, well, one, I just want to say going back to your fashion and haircut statement, if you're going to do a music video, make sure that you do look good because it's going to last. It's not like it's a show where you go and you perform and when it's over, everybody expects you to be sweaty and whatever. And, you know, people leave at the end of the night and don't think about, you know, whatever. But as soon as you fix it into a video and put it online where people can see it, they're going to look at it and be like, dude, what's up with that guy's like, what's up with his glasses? Like they're crooked the whole video. Like every shot, they're like looking like Jamie Foxx in Spider-Man 2, you know, after he gets like all roughed up, you know, like you're going to be looking like that guy and you don't want to be known as that, right? Mm-hmm. For a serious music video. So make sure that you get, you know, spend some time thinking about what clothes you want to wear, what your wardrobe looks like, what you want your hair to look like, you know, if you're doing makeup, what you want your makeup to look like. Make sure you spend a little bit of time doing that because it does go a long way and it will last for forever. You don't want that to haunt you. Mm-hmm. And if you're not good at it, find someone who is. Ask second opinions. Bring someone onto the set and say, hey, you know, I can't see myself because we're, say, outside at a park, right? It's not like there's mirrors everywhere that you can, like, check and make sure everything's looking good. Get a friend, you know, use the people around you.
Yeah. Well, and like going off of that, I mean, yeah, a wardrobe, not just one outfit that you wear, which
depends on the video. Depends on the video. Patrick here would have like 10 outfits in every video if he were doing the whole music video artist thing.
Like, if you can, literally have like a little, one of those little like stand-up closet things that people have in their room with just like a bunch of different outfits. And honestly, bring outfit choices, because like if you bring a friend on or whoever the crew is, that way you can ask them like, hey, does this look good? And if they say no and you don't have any other backup clothes,
yeah,
then you're going to have to go all the way home and change. So definitely bring like backups and stuff like that.
I would say this, your wardrobe for the most part needs to be addressed before you get on set. That's mm-hmm. something that's part of that pre-production process that we like to talk about on this podcast a lot. That's where you plan things. You sit down with whoever's producing. Like if you're doing music, it's your producer and or your engineer and or your musicians, whatever. You know, in a music video, yeah, you got a producer and a director. If you're doing small budget stuff, like, you know, when you're first starting out, if you're having somebody else in, that producer is the director, same person, right? They might also be doing the camera opping and the lights and everything else, right? But make sure you sit down with those people and discuss, like, hey, this is what I'm envisioning for the music video. This is what I want to see. These are the kinds of, like, references that I have for it, right? You know, I want it to look like, you know, say, maybe you want to do a horror shoot and you want to go deep into the woods or deep into the woods. It could really be on like the outskirts. Nobody's ever going to know because they'll only see what the camera sees. But, you know, but you talk about locations. You talk about your wardrobe. And does that invoke the story or the vibe that you're going for? Mm-hmm. So you want to figure those things out during that pre-production phase. You don't want to get on set and be like, OK, so what are we doing? What are we doing? Because that's wasting everybody's time. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's there to work. Mm-hmm. And not to say that things won't be decided on set, because there will always be changes.
Yeah.
Be flexible, but have a game plan.
Yes.
Have a game plan.
And you could even like make a little storyboard, and it doesn't have to be anything fancy. But okay, so we're going to have an interview with Anastasia Elliott next week. And she's a really good, like, go watch her music videos. She's about to release 8 more music videos for the rest of her first album. So she has a whole catalog of music videos, and hers are super like high production looking. She has a lot of DIY for them. We'll talk about it on the interview, I'm sure. But for it, I know she does a storyboard for her videos, and she's a very like visual person. She's like, for me, I've been like researching her nonstop. So for her, she's like, I am a visual person where I almost make the vision before I even make the music. And obviously not everyone, most people are not going to be like that. But if you're doing a music video, I guess for me, even like when I'm listening to a certain song, sometimes I picture like what I think would be a good music video, whether it has a music video or not. And sometimes I'll watch music videos and be like, no, you should have done it this way instead. Yeah. So whatever, but at the end of the day, whatever the artist thinks is what is best. And so if you, surely you have a vision if you're going to make a music video. So write it down and make pictures. And even you could even do like digital pictures, like, or if you do just want to sketch it out,
take photos, you know, and throw Pinterest photos on there. Pinterest ideas, you know, if you are very like opinionated in how you want it to look and you want specific shots, even if you can't draw, use stick figures, you know?
You know,
so like a traditional storyboard when you're in like a film industry, it looks like a bunch of pages that have these little boxes, right? It's the screen. You draw a box that's the screen, and then you draw inside that box, whether it's, you know, stick figures or whatever kind of art you can do. I can't do anything better, so that's what I do. You know, you draw in like, okay, hey, I want a close up, right? I want it to be, you know, shoulders and head, and that's it. And I want it to be on the left side. So you draw the little, you know, the face and, you know, the shoulders on the left side of the screen or whatever. Or like, you know, I want a really wide shot to show a canyon or something like that, right? You draw your box and then draw in there to the best of your ability what it is. And you can write down below as well, like, hey, this is a canyon. I want a wide shot, you know, and really you should be. You should be saying wide shot, close shot, close up, over the shoulder, you know, medium shot, extra wide shot, extreme close up. Like, you know, if you want to do, if you're trying to do a spoof off of like the Good and Bad and the Ugly, and you want to do like the whoosh, like right up there on the eyes and kind of thing, right? You know, if you want that, it's called an extreme close-up, and you can draw that in and say, hey, I want this. And that helps whoever's shooting the video, like the camera op, helps the producer, helps the director, helps mm-hmm. everybody so much. Mm-hmm. But if you can't draw it or you can't figure it out, and you know, like, I want a specific thing, go find that reference. Just like when we're talking about going into recording studios to record your album, find references. Like on one of the last, not the last, but one of the last photo shoots that I was on with our friend Michael, we decided to go take photos in a Waffle House. And I love those photos. They turned out perfectly. And when we were going over there, I told him, yeah, Waffle House up there in the back. Shout out to Waffle House. But I told him, I was like, there's a specific vibe I'm going for. There's a specific look I'm going for. And so I pulled up a photo that reflected that specific thing. And I know, like, when we were first kind of getting there, I'd been talking to him about it for a while. I couldn't find the photo actually until the day of the shoot, which kind of bothered me because I'm like, I wanted to send it to him beforehand. But I found it that day. I'm like, ha, this is the vibe I want. It wasn't the color scheme, but it was the right vibe. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to show him that, and those pictures came out like exactly what I was looking for. Like, you know, very like detective-y, kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, drinking the coffee, you know, mm-hmm. almost like a old silent film-esque, mm-hmm. but with color, mm-hmm. you know? So
Dale, you have a music video.
Yep.
So as an artist, I guess I have met certain artists where I've asked them before, like, oh, are you going to do a music video for this? Mm-hmm. And they decide, you know, oh no, like we don't really either have the time or the budget or mm-hmm. whatever it might be, maybe to get their vision across. Yeah. But then there's other artists who are like, no, I want a music video pretty quickly, or like, I would like to do a music video for this. And obviously you did that with Burn Your Name.
Yeah.
So can you kind of talk about that process and your decisions behind it and kind of mm-hmm. what led up to it?
So
why did I just ask you that? Like, I'm interviewing you.
I know, right? but I mean, those are good questions though, that, and anybody that's going to sit down and going to do a music video, you need to think about why you're doing it.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like a super simple question to ask and a very podcasty answer.
No, you
know,
it's true.
But you need to know why you're doing this. Like,
what do you have to say that's more yes. important than other music videos?
But beyond that, say you have a whole album, right, that you're releasing. Why are you choosing that song to do music video? Mm-hmm. Choose a song that you can create a compelling visual story to, because it's a totally different piece of art. It's all art. And if you have 10 songs and you really love 9 of them, yeah, you need to ask yourself, why this song? Why not another song? Like, you might have, and then there could be different reasons, right? It could be the single off the album, like the song you're trying to mm-hmm. push. That could be a good way to, you know, release the song first, right? You know, release the single with the music video and, you know, as a single. That can be an avenue. But maybe you have another song that's very visual in its lyrical description that you can play off of, something you can see. You can see it just with the words. And if you can see it just with the words, then why not go ahead and make it with a video too? Because you already have so much of that already scoped out in your brain. The more work that just comes natural in a music video, the more kinds of shots, the more kind of story that comes natural in a music video because of this song, the easier it's going to be to shoot that thing typically, unless you have some like crazy off the wall, like huge budget thing that you just don't mm-hmm. have a budget for. Mm-hmm. And that's something to take into consideration too. If you have a cheap, cheesy, kind of funny, campy song, shoot it on an iPhone.
Yeah.
Set it up and just do something fun.
Yeah.
You know, lean into the aesthetic. But if you need a really big budget for something, you know, make sure you're spending it wisely and know why you're doing that song.
Yeah.
You know, over your other music.
One artist I want to talk about that's local Nashville is Dawn, which I'm sure I've talked about them before because I'm obsessed mm-hmm. with them. But they have really good music videos. One that they just released, Never Have I Ever. A lot of their shots in the music video is, well, A, they just invite a bunch of friends over and they like had a party. In a way it was like a real party, but then also they were filming it and their whole aesthetic is like early 2000s sort of deal. Mm-hmm. So they had like this kind of digital look to their camera. And then they had like a bunch of, I don't know if it was Polaroids or film camera or what, but almost this like stop motion sort of look of like during certain parts of the song, it would just flash pictures. Like that's kind of a really good technique that you can use that honestly goes with a lot of aesthetics. I mean, vintage kind of film camera s sort of things go with a lot of folk songs, country songs. Yeah. Pretty much any genre you can kind of really work that into.
Mm-hmm. You can. And, you know, yeah, know your genre, know your audience. This goes back to what we've been talking about since the beginning. Know who it is you're trying to get your message out to and what they're going to respond to. Mm-hmm. Because if you have an amazing video, but it doesn't speak to your audience, then either one, you have the wrong audience in mind, or two, you're giving them the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're trying to do this as a business, you do have to make those choices. Like, what is actually going to bring business your way? Mm-hmm. If you're just throwing a video out there to throw a video out there, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're doing this as a business, you have to ask yourself, will my audience want this? Will not only will they want this, but will they come back and watch it multiple times?
Yeah.
So they only watch it once. It's great. But, you know, you're hoping a video is going to gain some traction. A lot of that is by replays, you know. Does it aesthetically fit the genre that I'm part of? All those kind of questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And music videos are too expensive to not like pre-plan a lot and really have a vision. And even the cheap music videos, like it's still going to take,
it's going to cost.
It's either going to cost a lot of time or a lot of money or trying to find people to help you out that are willing to work for free or for a very small budget.
Yeah.
But speaking of videos that I could watch over and over again, Dawn, I showed you their Boy Next Door music video.
Yeah, that was a great video.
And speaking of references, now they, once again, like very into early 2000s, so they reference a lot of early 2000s movies, specifically John Tucker Must Die. And they like made this whole early 2000s like rom-com. And they did this whole TikTok trend of like, I found this weird DVD of this movie no one's ever heard of, but it has this really cool song in it. And they would play their song. And then like the whole music video was like half a movie, half a trailer, like half a music video. And like it was them just singing in their garage and like, but they did costumes and they got their friends involved. And it was just, it's, I told McCall, the lead singer, I was like, honestly, you should enter this into like some awards. I don't know if there's music video awards for like small artists or independent artists or not, but if there is, I'm like, that would 100% win, at least in my book. I think another like good idea, recently, the last LOL It's Leah show that I went to, she has her album coming out. Go check her out. She's about to release a new song, I think next month or at the end of this month, called My Favorite Singer. But she performed one of her new songs at the concert. And before the crowd, she had already been talking. She had told me, she's like, hey, can you really try and get a lot of people there? And she was trying to get a lot of people there because she was filming a music video. And so that's kind of like a good, simple way, especially in an artist in her genre, pop punk, like getting the crowd. And she just said, can you guys please, for my music video,
just go wild. Yeah.
And like I jumped on Atlanta's shoulders at one point. Like we were just going in, everyone in the crowd was just going wild. Like I think we talked about this concert during the crowd work episode.
Yeah.
And just how I think it is one of the best local shows that I've been to around Nashville. And that is like a really good tool, A, to get people to like get really invested in your music and just have a good time. But B, for a music video that's in a way kind of simple. Like the girl who was filming, she had a phone and just a really like nice light. And I'm sure it's a really nice phone camera and she's going to edit it a lot and everything. Mm-hmm. But once again, I mean, that probably was a lot cheaper than going to a certain location and like pre-planning all this stuff. And it kind of brings this edginess and relatability that maybe isn't necessarily there in other music videos.
You know, and that's the thing. Like, you can absolutely do a music video all by yourself with just a phone.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, you have to play within the rules of your budget. You have to play within the rules of what you're working with. Because you can make an amazing video with a phone. But don't try to pretend the phone is the nicest camera in Hollywood. Don't try to make it something it's not. Play with what you have. You know, if you have a really cheap old phone, then make it look like a really cheap old phone, you know, because that's a whole era of time people were making old cheap videos with. So lean into it, you know, play to the strengths of what is at your disposal. Don't try to force something that you have into being something that it's not.
Especially nowadays, like there's so many resources just online, like CapCut alone. You can do so much editing through that and like filters and stuff and like things that you just couldn't do even 10 years ago. And so I feel like music videos can really come a long way from where they were. And, you know, doing it on a budget, which is really important for our audience. But I guess that's all to say that I think some artists have this idea like, oh, to do a really good music video, I need to have made enough songs or sold enough streams, whatever. But I don't think that's true.
Remember your music video. Remember the purpose of music videos when they first started. It was to promote the music, right?
Yeah.
So like think about MTV when that was still playing like truly music all the time. What was the purpose of MTV? Yes, it's cool. Yes, there's music videos. Wow, this is a new thing. But ultimately, it was to try to redirect people to go buy the record. You don't have to have that mindset now because you can just go watch music videos on YouTube. You can try to market it as its own thing, which is perfectly fine. It's a valid approach. But don't get lost on the purpose of why we dip into multiple different realms and different social medias and different places of releasing music. The whole purpose of going to a bunch of different places is to get a bigger audience and to get your audience to cross-pollinate with the other things you've already done, whether it's Spotify over to Instagram or YouTube over to Facebook to TikTok to whatever, right? You know, which also brings me to another point I wanted to bring up. And I know that I've said this before on the podcast. When you make your music video, keep short reels and TikToks and things like that in mind, because reusing content is so beneficial and it's so much worth it adds value to the time you're spending on any project. It does, because if you can reuse your content in any kind of way, you are getting literally more value in the time that you're spending with that. So shoot your music video, but then also be thinking about like, okay, can I shoot this in a way that there's nice, pleasing breaks where I can like, oh, here's a clip right here. I can shrink it down to, you know, a vertical video and send it right over to Instagram and TikTok. Boom. You have two more posts right there. And if you can do that, if you can do 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 videos, if you can do 10 second videos out of a 3 or 4 minute music video, you've got a ton of content right there that one, you've already been paying for, you know, if you're shooting the video. So, and two, you know, it's going to have that value of recognition. If somebody sees it here and then they see it somewhere else, like, oh, hey, I've seen this before. And it gives them that satisfaction of like, hey, now I can go see the whole thing, right? And then you can post it later on. Like, hey, we're about to play a show. And then, bam, there's another video. You know, you can post the same video again and say, hey, we're playing a show. You want to see this song? We're playing it live. You know, all that kind of cool stuff can come out of a super simple video or a super high budget video. It doesn't either way that you do it. But if you start thinking about that before you shoot your video, you can make decisions on shots and on cuts and your edits and things like that to make it a little easier to transition over and be a more effective transition.
Yeah. Speaking of that, shout out to Atlanta from Hexproof again. They just posted some clips for their new EP, Feelings Deleting. Go listen to it. It's really good. It has my favorite song on there, Stay. They redid Stay. If you're an OG Hexproof fan, you know about it. I think we even maybe talked about it on our interview with them last year. But it's one of my favorite songs. But in it, she used videos. She was telling me some from 2019 that she's like, yeah, this was some promotion shots that we did back then. And now she's doing it, reusing it again just to promote their EP. And I mean, it works really well.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
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 I was like, 2019's, wow, that's just like, no.
Yeah,
that's 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That also goes to show, archive your stuff. Keep a record of what you have. I was actually just talking this last week with an equipment manufacturer I might be doing some videos with. And they were talking about how they, you know, have have a backlog of footage that they just haven't had time to edit. And some of that stuff goes back a decade or more, 15 years. They're like, it's great footage. We just haven't had time to edit it, you know? And so if you hold on to your stuff, you can always go back. Mm. You can always go back. Mm. Keep good copies and keep good records. Keep good folder hierarchy. That way you can find it, you know, stuff like that. Super simple things. And that stuff is pretty, you know, folder hierarchy is free. You know, you got to pay for storage, you know, buy some hard drives, but.
Drives seem crazy. Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about storage and saving files someday, because it's not a fun part of the business, but it's a really important part.
Yeah, honestly, because I don't know anything about that. I all that to say, though, I do want to say this. This kind of goes back to when we talked. I don't even know if this episode ever aired, but we've referenced it a bunch because I think it was literally from like our first episode that we never actually aired. But this goes back to the idea of like, if you're doing like a photo shoot, make it interesting.
Oh, did that one never air?
I don't think that ever aired, what? But we reference it all the time. Basically, in the first episode, I said we were talking about like image as an artist. Yeah. And I was like, if you're doing like a photo shoot, like don't do boring pictures of you in like a white t-shirt in a field, especially like if you're country. I'm sorry. Like just... we've seen it before. We don't care.
It's not going to stand out.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to remember it. It's going to look the exact same as every other,
yes,
you know, album photo,
yes,
in the last 10 years.
So that being said, I know we just talked about, you know, music videos are expensive. Do it on a budget. But that does not mean it has to be boring.
Be
that
creative.
Does not mean that it has to be like the same shot of you in the same location, mm-hmm, doing the same thing or just like sitting there and mouthing the words the whole time.
Yeah.
And honestly, when I reference this, I'm talking to big artists too. I remember I'm a big Ariana Grande fan, have been since day one, like seriously since day one. And I remember like my everything, she releases the Break Free music video and she's in space and like there's all this crazy stuff going on. It's amazing. And then she releases Love Me Harder with The Weeknd. And it's like her like laying down in some sand and water the whole time. And then Dangerous Woman, don't even get me started on the music videos for those, where every day she's in a big puffy coat on a bus just doing this the whole time. The whole time. Or in Into You, she's just in a car in the desert just doing this the whole time. Girl, you got the money. Make it more interesting. Sorry, I know I just got loud. You got the money. Make it more interesting. Shout out to Katy Perry, the queen of music videos, who has some of the greatest music videos I've ever seen in my life. I remember I was so obsessed with This Is How We Do music video. And I used to like just binge watch her music videos all the time because they're just so good. And so that being said, find creative ways, even, yes, within a budget,
yes,
to make an interesting music video that will stand out, that people will want to watch, yeah, and people will want to listen to the music.
Your music video doesn't have to tell a story. It doesn't have to be a narrative thing. It could be, you could do a concept thing and make, mm-hmm, it weird and wacky. Mm-hmm. You could just hit a vibe. And if it's space and aliens, then it's space and aliens. Mm-hmm. It's not, you don't have to tell a story about conquering the universe, but you know, maybe you're flying around in a spaceship shooting other spaceships. I don't know. Maybe you're just pressing buttons on a big board, but do enough different things to make it like, oh, that's weird. Oh, that's funny. Have fun with it. Because, mm-hmm, if you're having fun with it, just like if you're on stage, if, yes, you're enjoying, yes, your time in your video and you're putting your passion into it, people are going to see that and be like, ah, this person's having fun. I like this.
Yep.
You know, smiles are infectious. Infectious. Go watch our YouTube. You won't regret it.
Go donate to us.
And make sure you follow us on Instagram at successfully_unsigned. Find us online at su-podcast.com. I think it's in time for another break, though.
Yep. Finally. Hey guys, what's up? It's DJ Patty G. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show so far. If you want to go find more, go to our website, su-podcast.com. We have lots of cool playlists there, whether it be from artists that we've had on the show or with other independent artists from all over the world. Also, make sure to follow us at successfully_unsigned on all of our platforms, as well as Unsigned Podcast on TikTok.
You guys will be our best friend if you go rate us 5 stars on all platforms. And if you like and subscribe this video, make sure to keep watching so you can see more of our shenanigans and other tomfoolery. Thanks, guys.
We just talked all about music videos, but now we're going to talk about music. Shockingly, we've never done that on this podcast before.
Is this a music podcast?
No.
It's a music business podcast, and we're about to drop some business stuff on you.
Okay, so the soul-sucking, money-hungry CEO of Spotify, Daniel Ek, E-K, Ek, tweeted out, I think a couple weeks ago, "Today, with the cost of creating content being close to zero, people can share an incredible amount of content. This has sparked my curiosity about the concept of long shelf life versus short shelf life. While much of what we see and hear quickly becomes obsolete, there are timeless ideas or even pieces of music that can remain relevant for decades or even centuries. For example, we're witnessing a resurgence of Stoicism with many of Marcus Aurelius's insights still resonating thousands of years later. This makes me wonder, what are the most unintuitive yet enduring ideas that aren't frequently discussed today but might have long shelf life? Also, what are we creating now that will still be valued and discussed hundreds of thousands of years from today?" I'll tell you what will still be valued hundreds and thousands of years from today. Music.
Why is that?
Not content. Music. But content is a branch off from music. So to say this is like, it's not like, oh, they're just doing a TikTok dance. But even so, that song, it may be a really special, important song that's going to last generations. And so on top of all that, too, Spotify just raised their prices again, which I actually saw something that said we should actually be paying more for Spotify. But I think it's probably that I will be honest, I did not read the article. But my guess is what they're saying is we probably should be paying more for it because that way the artists get paid more. But I don't think that's really what it's about.
So there's a couple thoughts in all of that. One, you're absolutely right. Content. If you're an artist out there, what are you making? Let me ask you that. What are you making? Hit the comments.
Purely for music and content creation.
Yes. So tell us in our comments, what are you making? Are you making content or are you making music? Are you a content creator or are you an artist? We want to know. Because artists make art. Music is art. Content is a whole nother thing, which is okay. And it's related. It's absolutely related. But if you're an artist trying to make music, your goal is not to make content. Your goal is not like, hey, I just want to make content. Because how many times on this podcast have we talked about how artists don't really want to make content typically?
Yeah, we just had a whole episode about social media. Go watch it.
Go watch that episode because it's absolutely true. Like, I know myself as an artist, the artist side of me doesn't really want to make content about my songs. I want to make the song. To me, the end goal is the song. I have to do the other things to help promote the song. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the world that we live in now, that you also have to be a content creator to market it. But my goal is not to make content. I don't want to be a social media influencer. Mm-hmm. I want to make music. I want to make that art, you know? And so labeling it as content became a big controversy. I can see where people are coming from when it comes to that. Like,
well, it's just so like frustrating to hear that from the CEO of a company that is like notorious for not paying artists well. Yeah. And I am saying that as a huge hypocrite because literally today I spent so much time like making playlists on Spotify, and I literally have tons of playlists on Spotify because I'll be honest, I love Spotify and its features, but I do agree they don't pay their artists. So if you don't use Spotify, don't use it. And I probably should switch over at some point.
Go to Tidal.
Yeah.
If you are trying to support artists, Tidal is one of the better ones.
Yeah, and like their quality is better, right?
Yes, you can stream it full CD quality. It's not compressed audio. Mm-hmm. I think Spotify uses a compression called Ogg Vorbis, which is kind of a weird one, which is actually free. That is, which is part of the reason why they use it, because it's an open source. They don't have to pay for the compression. algorithms.
Which once again shows how greedy this man is.
It goes back into it. I was trying to find...
Shout out to Josh from A Conundrum, because he uses Tidal.
Does
he always right posts on his posts on his stories.
Yeah.
Songs from Tidal. Also, shout out Trisha Paytas, because she pays for all her music on iTunes. I'm like,
that is period. That's,
you know,
hardcore.
Who Trisha Paytas is?
I've heard you talk about her, but I don't think I've met her.
This man ain't chronically online.
I'm not. I really don't spend that much time online. I was trying to find a particular group that was also talking about something I've really heard nowhere else. They were filing a lawsuit against Spotify because of, or not filing, were they? They might have been following a lawsuit actually on the last post I saw, but they were sending out like cease and desists and stuff like that to Spotify because of the changing of packages and how people, you know, pay for Spotify, changing from like, hey, this is a streaming subscription to this is a I forget what the word they used. I don't think the word they used was content, but it might have been. And I can't remember the name of the group that was talking about it, but they were calling for kind of a boycott of Spotify because they were lumping in Spotify's tier changes, they were lumping in music with their podcasts and things like that, which like service level seems like, oh, that's okay. But what that's doing is it's changing what they have to pay artists, and means they pay artists even less because it's no longer just a music streaming platform that you're paying for. You're paying for all of this. Mm. And so how they did their wording and working meant less payment for artists, which was a big kind of like, oh, that doesn't seem right.
A lot of things about Spotify doesn't seem right, other than they just know how to market themselves. And I mean, they get free marketing at the end of every year, even from us, us having a whole Spotify routes. We are the biggest hypocrites, y'all. I'm sorry.
Well, the product that they give is a great product.
Yeah.
They've made a great product. Mm-hmm. There's no denying that. Some of their business ethics and policies are what we here have issue with, and what a lot of artists have issues with. Because like I said,
but at the end of the day too, you have a lot of labels, managers, everything looking at that. They're looking at your Spotify streams. They're not even looking as much at any of your other streams or anything because everyone uses Spotify and like everyone promotes on Spotify. Like they have really found a way to almost borderline monopolize on it.
They really have.
And get everyone involved, including artists, to fall into this trickery.
Do you want to know how I can confidently say, in my opinion, that they have a monopoly? Because they are one of the only companies that has beat out Apple in something that they've dipped their toes into.
That's so true.
Because think about every other product that Apple has decided to get involved in. Almost all of them have, Apple has won their market. Mm-hmm. Comes to phones.
And for a long time, I mean, they had iTunes. Like, everyone had iTunes. Everyone's getting iTunes gift cards.
Everybody had iTunes.
Yeah.
And then Spotify comes along like, ha-ha. And Apple Music has not caught up. Apple Music is a big player. Don't get me wrong. Yes. Apple Music is a big player. Probably the number two player.
But they're kind of like when Apple users versus anyone else, where it's like, ew, you have the green bubble. It's like when you share your Apple Music, like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Wrapped.
That's
at the end of the year versus your Spotify Wrapped, it's like, okay, brokey. Like,
if it comes to Apple versus Android,
boo, Android.
Android's where it's at. I'm just saying. If you're an artist, get on Android.
Sponsors Apple. Sponsors Steve Jobs.
Anyway, nobody thinks twice of people talking about Spotify over Apple Music. And I guess like the same could be also said about like Apple TV. Apple TV is not that big.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a player, but
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I guess maybe Netflix, but even they have gotten a lot of flack lately because their prices are ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I would not say there's as much of a like monopoly of television as there is on music.
There's exactly. So all that being said, though, I've got another wrench to throw in this whole debate. Something I've only found out just a few minutes before we got on this episode, on this segment. What do you think about these two things when it comes to the Spotify executive, specifically Daniel Ek, the CEO. One, he has not taken a salary for Spotify since 2017.
What do you mean?
He's not drawn any salary for his CEO-ship of Spotify since 2017.
So he ain't collecting a check?
He's not collecting a check.
Okay, okay.
So what are your thoughts on that?
So what, he's like putting it all back into the business? I'm confused.
He's just simply not paying himself as a CEO. He's, who pays your paycheck?
But also
managers and whatever. But also, who pays the manager? The manager does.
I just saw something where he like just let go a bunch of people like around Christmas. Like, I think it was, ooh, hold on. This is from Metal Injection, by the way. So sorry if this is inaccurate. This is the guy who laid off 17% of Spotify staff right before Christmas.
Mm. But it is interesting that it's not, at least at face value, going into his pockets.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thought. It's an interesting thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. I called you a soul-sucking, money-hungry demon.
It gives a little credence to maybe his motive and his character, perhaps. Doesn't absolve him of a lot of the things.
Yeah, what he tweeted was still stupid and just ignorant, honestly.
Here's another thought, though. Here's another thought. Maybe I should rephrase what I said. He's not drawing a paycheck as CEO. Doesn't mean he hasn't made money. He has sold some of his shares. But the interesting thing is, this particular year, him and a few other five largest shareholders of Spotify have all apparently sold a significant amount of shares. They've sold $250 million worth of shares this year. So where does that lead Spotify? What is happening to Spotify? Is their goal just to sell a little bit to make some money? Or are we about to see some major business changes?
I don't know. It's like getting too much into business or my brain is starting to fry.
No, but like if you're selling all your stuff, are you just trying to salvage what's left of the ship before you abandon ship and try to sell it? Right? Is that what's going on? Or are they just trying to say, hey, I've got more than I need, going to sell some, make some money, you know, get a couple mil, you know?
I don't know. So are you like suggesting that possibly Spotify is
maybe
going
under? I don't know that I would say it's going under, but perhaps we're about to see a sale.
Okay.
Perhaps we'll see new hands take it.
Apple's going to buy it.
That would be an interesting move. It'd be a really interesting move if Apple bought that.
I mean, why not?
It wouldn't be out of Apple's...
Also, not to excuse purview. Apple, like Apple also has...
They don't pay much either.
...awful things to their workers, like literally workers, I think.
Let me not just say
things that I literally don't know what I'm talking about.
But I
also, where did you read that?
Yahoo Finance.
Yahoo Finance?
Okay. Yahoo Finance.
So those are our sources. If they're wrong or fake, don't get on us, y'all. We are not researchers. Like, chill.
We're casual readers.
Well, he's technically a researcher because he just got his master's. So if anything, come after him, not me, because I never claimed to be an academic. I literally claimed to be chronically online, but not in like a
educational
way,
or
in like
useful or
brain rot,
productive or any kind of like, you know, life enhancing way.
Well, I'd say it's life enhancing because it makes me laugh.
By wasting your time?
Yeah. But you know what's not a waste of time? Going to su-podcast.com and finding all of our content, whether it be playlists or all of our interviews, all of our live sessions, and donations, where you can donate, because look at these starving artists from Daniel... Well, don't look shoulders up. Look shoulders up. And how Daniel Ek has not paid these sorry little Spotify artists.
The arms of
was there anything else that you wanted to say?
No, just go follow us on Instagram. Make sure that you're keeping up with us because we're doing a lot of cool stuff here and we would love for you to be a part of that. And if you are interested in being on the show, like Patrick mentioned, go to su-podcast.com. You can find there some links to contact us if you want to be interviewed on the show, if you want to kind of promote your music. As you've seen, we do the artist interviews, but we also do those live in studio sessions. So we'd love for you to be part of us.
Next week, we have Anastasia Elliott, which I'm so excited about. We're going to her house, doing a house tour. She has an amazing voice, so get ready for that, because it will probably be one of our biggest interviews yet. All right, thank you guys.